This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
お前なんか俺の妻のこと言ってたっけ。ああ、気抜いてたな。やられたぜ。
オスプレ
イ。おう。
Thank you, ミャオ。
いや、まだまだ余裕があるね。
Thank you, メンってね、英語で英語に言いますけど、それを猫に変えてますね。
Now he's dead.
Welcome back, everybody, to Wrestling Omakase. This week is episode number 48, and I am very happy to be joined by returning guest from Joe versus the World, the five-star match game, Joe's Funtime Arcade. Is that right, Funtime Arcade?
Yeah.
And I don't. Do you have anything else? I
can Oh, that's plenty. Believe me.
It's Joe Gagne back on the show. Hello, Joe.
How's it going? And I believe we've learned after today's trial results that Flip Gordon v. John Carroll will not be proceeding.
Flip Gordon will not be taking me to court for podcast crimes, apparently, since we've learned that people being mean to you on Twitter and ruining your turkey day is not grounds to get paid $4 million. But I mean, just so ridiculous, that entire case, man. Like, I couldn't believe we even got as far as it did. But I mean, I was talking to an attorney about it, like last week while the case was going on. And he basically was like, how did the judge not, like, let this through dismissal? But like, he said he thought my mom was lucky just to get it through dismissal. But anyway, that's that. That was the big news of the day as we record this on a Tuesday here, but we're not going to talk much about that. We'll leave that to probably every other podcast this week. What we are here to talk about is the Best of the Super Juniors, which was a tournament that wrapped up just yesterday as I speak here. And I know, Joe, you had also watched the entire tournament. So once I figured I needed a guest to go over this year's tournament, you came to mind immediately. In fact, I think we almost booked this when I was on the Dragon Gate five-star match game. It wasn't quite confirmed, but we put a little teaser there at the end. So
it was pretty much, yeah, it was pretty much on the fly. And yeah, I watched the whole tag league last year, so, you know, I was down for the entire.
that's too far for even for me. Like, I don't watch the New Japan. Like, the New Japan tag league every year is basically like, well, I'm going to take like 2 weeks off from New Japan and catch up on everything else that I might be behind on this year. Because, like, that's when I watch a bunch of, like, Lucha stuff, people recommended all year, which I'm never that into, honestly. But that's another story, I guess. But that's when I watch all the Lucha stuff people recommended. That's when I watch, like, I'm trying to think of a promotion I never pay attention to. I guess I try to catch up on, like, NXT and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I never catch the tag league. The tag league, I'm just like, if there's a really good match, someone can recommend it to me and I'll watch it. But other than that, I'm just like, I can't get through that stupid tag league.
Yeah.
But I heard last year's was, like, okay.
It was okay. Like, if you have a tournament that Doc Gallows has won, but Okada has not. You know, that seems a little silly. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what's the point?
I just love how, like, well, I mean, it made sense that they finally took the stars out this year, because in previous years, it's always like, okay, well, the stars of this of New Japan are going to just tie a giant weight around their neck for no reason.
Yeah.
Like Okada's here to team up with Yoshihashi. And
he can't do better than that.
Kenny's gonna team up with Chase Owens. It's like, God bless Chase Owens. I think he's great, actually, but not a big threat in the win-loss column in New Japan.
No.
But yeah, this year they just took everybody out that was already booked for the Tokyo Dome, which made a lot more sense. But yeah, we're not here to talk about the tag league.
No, we'll save that for December.
Best of the Super Junior, a tournament that I do watch every year. And I guess overall thoughts, we're going to get into grades and all that stuff, but like, this was a very good tournament by the end. I was a little worried there in the middle. It started out really hot with those two or three Korakins. And, you know, I thought in the middle, it really kind of like died down a little bit, especially the A block. But it ended super hot with those last two shows, which the two shows we're going to talk about in detail. So, you know, anytime you can end on like two shows as good as the two that ended it, you know, that's obviously going to leave a great taste and a much better taste in people's mouths. So, you know, I wouldn't put it quite on the same level as last year. I thought last year was more consistently good, but this year might have peaked higher for me. I don't know.
I think that's fair. It's always tough. Like, well, here are two blocks of 56 matches. Like, which one was better? Like, it's hard to keep track of exactly everything, but I think that's fair. The peaks this year were higher. Last year may have been a little more consistent, but I mean, just saw a lot of great wrestling these past couple weeks. I'm very happy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a very good tournament, and we'll get into all the individuals who took part in it. But let's talk about the first two nights first. Let's get into, or the last two nights, I should say. Let's like talk about the two most recent shows in detail. First, the June 3rd Korakin, which was the only show on the tour that featured all the A block and B block matches on one show, which really made for a great like eight match show. It was just one match after another of the junior league matches.
Last year they started the tournament with everyone on the same show, but they ended it, which I think works a lot better.
Yeah, ending like when you're starting out, you can, you know, the hype level's high enough that I can sit through a bunch of like whatever tags, but if you try to do that at the end, I'm just like, I don't know if I would have sat through the entire shows. But yeah, so it opened up with ACH against Tiger Mask. First thing I noticed with this match was ACH's Tiger Mask getup was awesome. I thought he
looked good, and he clearly, I mean, something he clearly thought about and put some thought into.
Yeah, and this was a pretty good match. I went like 3.25 on it. The some observations I noticed, like, don't try to chop people on the post, everybody.
Like, that literally never works.
No, I was gonna say it just worked for Mara Fuji like three times in a row. Against Miyahara. Yeah, that's right. I think it was in the title match. It might have been the Champion Carnival Final. One of the two. I was just amazed watching it. Like, I kept waiting for him to miss, but like it worked for him like three times. He did it on three different posts. I was like, how did someone tempt fate this many times and actually get the chop off all three times? Here, ACH tried it once and it was like up right into the post. Yep. And I also thought ACH, like, you know, he stole the Tiger Driver, which is pretty cool. He like really laid into Tiger Match with chops at one point, and he was laying into people all tour with the chops, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Tiger Suplex counter into the roll up finish, I thought was pretty neat too. This is a very fun opener.
Yeah, it's always tough when you have matches where both guys are eliminated. It technically doesn't mean anything, but this was still like a good, well worked match, and for both guys who I think kind of overachieved a bit for me in my mind throughout the tour.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they both had a pretty good tour. Yeah, and we'll get into that when we talk about everybody's. We have like grades for everybody and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, these two were, I thought, two of the better people in the A block, as we'll talk about. The second match, Bushi and Kanemaru. Bushi, he literally drop kicked the whiskey out of Kanemaru before the bell, which I thought was awesome. There was the one thing Kanemaru kept doing on this tour was he kept like moving out of the way of dives and throwing young boys in the way. I just remember thinking, like, all these young boys, they're going to know how to catch people on dives, I guess, because they're getting a lot of practice from Kanemaru throwing them in the way. But
yeah, Oku got, like, pancaked, I think it was the night before. I can't remember if it was this show or not, but he got dinged to the back because I think he smacked his head catching a dive.
Ooh, okay. I didn't even notice that. I think it was the night before, yeah. The only thing that really didn't, there was, like, a really bad botch on, like, a tornado DDT in this match. That was like the only thing that took it down a little bit for me, but the finish was just so like inventive because you have these two guys who both do a spit thing, right? Ibushi does the splitting the black mist, and Kanemaru does the spitting the whiskey. So Ibushi, like, he blocks the whiskey spray, he gets his own mist spray, and I don't know about you, but I was like, I thought 100% that was gonna be the finish.
Yeah. No, I thought, like, oh, cool win. But then they actually pulled something else out.
And then Kanemaru somehow, through that whole kick, roll up, and everything else, he manages to fucking hold this whiskey in his mouth the entire time and then spits it in Bushi's face and it hits a deep impact for the pin. I mean, that was just like, how did he held that whiskey? Like, he took a bump.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He kicked out of it.
That man can hold his alcohol.
He can literally hold his alcohol. Like, I just, that was maybe the most impressive thing on the show.
That's true. That's probably the most impressive thing all tour for him.
Oh, yeah, he didn't have a great tour. But yeah, this match was, I other than the botch, I enjoyed it because it was just like these two, like, rudo-y motherfuckers, like, trying to out-cheat each other. So, which I always enjoy that kind of thing.
Indeed.
Match three, Taguchi and Sabin. Do you want to start on this one?
Yeah, I thought this was two guys who were just kind of there on the tour. I thought, don't have a ton to say. I thought it was a nice, well-worked match. Yeah, Taguchi won. That's all I kind of took out of this one.
I actually really liked this one a lot. I went 4 stars on it. I thought there was like some really fun grappling at the start that ended with Sabin getting like this really cool like springboard arm drag thing. That I thought they did a really fun little comedy spot with Taguchi having like a very hard time getting out of Sabin's wrist lock, and then he finally had to get the ropes, which I thought was a cute little spot. And then, you know, the finishing stretch with Sabin, like he kicks out of the Dodon, and Taguchi is like ready right away to immediately grab him in the ankle lock and get the submission. I almost thought that was kind of like this could be me reading too much into it, but like everybody was kicking out of the Dodon all tour. So I thought maybe it was almost like him being like, I'm ready for it this time. I'm ready for the kick out. Because he like pounced on him immediately. It was almost like a Joe you know, it's like a Samoa Joe transition almost. So I thought that was really clever. And yeah, I don't know. I like this one a lot. And I probably liked both guys more than you did on the tour. So, but yeah, I thought this was a really fun match. I think it only went like 10 minutes, but.
Yeah, about 11.
Yeah, I thought it was a very, very strong 11 minutes. So. But then we get to a match I think we'll probably both agree on, which is El Desperado and Dragon Lee. What'd you think about this one?
Oh, this match ruled. Like, I thought, you know, but I thought both guys were awesome the whole tour, and they worked super well together. I just really love the visual. The Desperado had the ripped mask, but his hair was just kind of hanging down in front, and then kind of an extra level of hate in this one. And yeah, Desperado got the win, and then he ripped Dragon Lee's mask off afterwards. So did you everyone thought, like, oh, they're building to a mask match. I'm like, oh, they wouldn't do that in New Japan, but maybe they are. I don't know. That would
and
be...
they did. Dragon Lee, like, literally challenged him after in a promo afterwards. So I don't know. Sometimes they just, like Desperado and Liger looked like they're going towards a mask match at one point, and they really did challenge each other, and it just never happened. So I'm not sure if that's really where we're going, but they definitely, the two of them wanted to do it, especially Dragon Lee, so...
Do you think that'd be a good step for Desperado, kind of move?
Yeah, I mean, they've been teasing a lot of stuff with him and Hiromu, and the fact that, you know, long time, you have to be kind of a long time fan of New Japan, which you are, so I don't know why. But for the listener at home, you know, the person under the mask of Desperado, you know, he had a long history with Hiromu when they were both young lions. I mean, Hiromu's never beaten him in a singles match, which I thought was awesome that they continued that. And their best of Super Junior match. And I think it's something like 15-0 is the record.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, if you include like Lucha and because they had some matches in Mexico too, apparently. So if you include all of that, then Desperado is, you know, it's like 15-0 against him. And they teamed together at one point too for a little while. I think they entered like, they teamed together in DDT. at one point as like a young boy thing. So like that was, so they've teamed together and been rivals. So, I mean, when Desperado beat Hiromu at Korakuen, you know, Hiromu, when he's getting carried off, all he said was, because, you know, they, and instead of doing a post-match promo, he just said he hasn't changed a bit. I thought was a great fucking line, and the kind of thing where, like, they're really teasing hard, you know, the past with who Desperado really is. So, and, you know, and Dragon Lee, when he, you know, in the promo afterwards, Desperado said to Dragon Lee, like, did you really want to see my face that bad? Which was like, I thought was such a cool line. And like Dragon Lee made it clear that he was tearing at Desperado's mask because Desperado was tearing at his mask, you know? And so yeah. If you go after my mask, I'm going to go after yours, which I think is a really cool little thing. So yeah, I mean, this match was like fucking awesome. You know, I went 4.25 on this. I thought it was just like the two of them just doing these insane dives. Like at one point, Lee did this dive where he went over the top, flipped, and somehow like landed right on his feet. And then Desperado like immediately starts begging off right after that until he gets like a chance to hit him with a chair, which is a cool little character moment for him. I mean, Lee started out off the match by like, you know, with a drop kick and then like a dive and then a plancha right after, which is cool. And then, you know, Lee, he got the whole mask off, which I don't know if that was really the plan or not.
Yeah, I don't know if that was meant to happen or he just got a little overzealous, but he like, he tore that mask like, I mean, if he didn't have that long hair, his face would have been exposed.
Yeah, and Desperado, like, I don't know, maybe it was the plan because Desperado was really skilled at covering his face with his hair, but then there were times where it looked like he kept readjusting it, and like he was like, oh shit, can they see me? But the cameraman did a great job, too. Mm. Like, you could tell the cameraman that, like, did not let you get a good shot of his face. You know, they probably could have gotten a shot of his face if they had, you know, if they'd really tried. But yeah, there was another cool moment where Desperado, like, you know, he countered that corner stomp that Dragon Lee always does with basically like a spider belly to belly suplex. Mm. But then he spends so long trying to fix his mask hanging upside down that he let Dragon Lee recover and like hit a drop kick to his face anyway, which I thought was like a really cool spot. And again, shows how like, because Desperado's mask was like all ripped up, he was basically at a huge disadvantage. And then Dragon Lee also yelled out Shibata when he did the PK.
Yeah, he's like Shibata's student all of a sudden.
Which... yeah, he loved Shibata. I mean, he came out with that with the wrestler.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell he's like a massive weep. You know, he's like, He loves his, the Japanese culture and the Impuresu. So, you know, I hope he continues to come as many times as he wants. But yeah, this was fucking awesome. Any other thoughts on Desperado and Lee?
No, that was an awesome match.
All right, the next one, I'm sure, is the one where the first one we're really going to disagree, which was Flip Gordon, Will Ospreay. Why don't you go first? Because I'm sure you probably like this more. Than
I like this match a lot. I thought it was Flip's best showing. I thought it was a good match for Ospreay too. Yeah, I just thought it was like super well worked. I liked all the high spots. I thought. Came together well, had some nice twists and turns, and Ospreay with the win. So I'll turn it over to you because I'm sure you're chomping at the bit.
I mean, look, the early stuff with Flip's dumbass stuff with the handstand and everything, that's whatever. People can disagree on whether that's cool or hokey. I get that. The thing I mostly didn't understand was like there was like a really long headlock in here, and it was the only like really long rest hold on the entire show. And I didn't really see anyone like giving them any hate over that. It's like, this is the kind of thing like Randy Orton gets torn apart for. And like, it was a really long rest hold. It was like at least a few minutes. And, you know, I get it. They got to catch their breath because they just did 5,000 dives. But like, I don't know. Like the match clearly wasn't laid out very well if they're doing a long rest hold like 5 minutes in. So that was one complaint. I thought Flip's selling was like, well, I mean, in general, I think his selling is really hideously bad. And when he starts in on the like no stuff, especially, like that's where like he, you know, he's in there with Will, who's, you know, not a great seller either. But like, I don't know, like people really get mad about the Will Ospreay like screaming, and it can be hokey at times. It can be really hokey, but I will take that over like. Flips like very unconvincing. No, No. Like, I might be putting too much emotion into my voice. But I don't know. Like, I really just hate that. The way he sells, which is like, it just doesn't sound convincing at all. And, you know, Parvati's really green. So I get it. He's only been in the business 3 years. So I'm sure that's stuff he can improve upon. So I'm not, you know, I'm not saying he's always going to suck. But it stands out on a tour like this when everybody else is like, you know, much better at all that kind of stuff. You know, I also thought there was like a really classic like flip delay where he jumped on the middle rope from the apron and hit some Phoenix Splash thing. Like a lot of the dives he does, like he really seems like he needs extra time to steady himself compared to some of the other people. And maybe that's because he's doing harder stuff, but like it really stands out for me sometimes. And the super kick counter of the Oz Cutter I thought was like one of those really like, here comes the move, like hokey counters. So I guess that's my full complaint list.
Oh, is that all? All right.
I gave it like 2 3/4. I didn't like, I thought some high spots were cool, but.
No, if Randy Orton started doing flying tiger drops to the floor and landing on his feet, then he can do all the chin locks he wants after that. As far as I'm concerned, and maybe it's just me, but Will's yelling doesn't really register with me because when I, maybe it's whatever. But I went back, and even when I kind of noticed it, I was on the lookout, noticed it. It didn't really bother me at all that much. Maybe it's just me.
I'm torn on this because sometimes I think it's just really funny, but it doesn't actually take me out of the match as much as I would expect. Like, I don't know what it is with him. Maybe like, okay, when he does it for like really basic moves, that's where it annoyed me. Like the thing I can really pinpoint is very early in the match against Kushida at Wrestling Dontaku. Like Kushida had him in like a fucking, I don't even know what it was, like a wrist lock or some really basic move. And he was screaming. And it's like, buddy, it's like 2 minutes into the match and he has you in a wrist lock. Calm the fuck down. But so that's the ones that really annoys me. When he gets later into the match and when, like, you know, he's having an otherwise really good match and, you know, and he might get a little yelly, it doesn't really take me out of it. And that's why I've still given some of his matches this year very high marks. You know, I've given him 4.5, I think, twice now already. So it doesn't bother me as I know as much as it bothers some people. I do think it's worth pointing out because sometimes it could be really silly, and I think it's his big flaw as a worker right now. But it does not bother me as much as Flip selling bothers me, because Flip is the opposite. I'd rather have someone who is trying too hard to sell, and you know, because clearly to me, why does Will do this? Will does this because he internalized what was the criticism with him, right? It was always you don't sell, you know. So that's why I would assume that Will Ospreay started doing this. So I get that, and I get what he's trying to do. And even though it might be goofy sometimes, it doesn't really bother me. The flip stuff is just like, well, you don't know what you're doing. Like, a person in pain is not going to say, like, no, 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 calmly. It's just not how a person is going to express pain. So that takes me out of it much more than the Will Ospreay one. But that's just my opinion, I guess.
All right. Fair enough.
Match number 6, Yo and Taiji Ishimori. I didn't really care much for this. It was okay. Will at ringside waiting to find out if he'll make the final or not was a nice touch, but I just there wasn't much there for me until the crazy flash pin sequences towards the end. I don't know. What did you like this more than I did?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought we'll get to Yo. He had a really solid tournament. I just really like the booking of Will being out there and seeing his stablemate get tapping out and seeing him not advancing. I thought was a very nice bit of drama. And the match itself, it was fine. I think both guys did better. Well, Ishimori certainly did better the next night, but yes.
Will had a great Will face at the end, I have to say, when he was like, again, that's one of his acting, like, kind of moments.
Yeah.
But yeah, with him, I find it charming, though. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a big fucking hypocrite. I don't know. Someone can call me out on it, I guess. But well, like Will's acting and his goofiness doesn't bother me like Flip's does. I should just like, I don't know, like compare them side by side or something. But match number 7, Show against Marty Scurll. So this was kind of boring early on with not a lot happening, but it got really physical later on, which is, you know, where I think it really picked up for me. Right around the time, like, Sho hit this, like, super hard lariat, which, like, he almost decapitated Marty. And then I also thought Marty, like, grabbing Sho's fingers and doing that, the goofy finger break thing, which I usually hate, but he did it while Sho was doing, like, his arrow pose. So I thought that was kind of clever. It's like, yeah, you're gonna waste time to taunt that I'm going to grab your fingers and break them, buddy. So I thought that was a cool spot. And then Sho, like, broke the umbrella at one point. Like, broke it right over his knee and then hit this, like, cool last ride into a lung blower. And then obviously, you know, they had all this stuff towards the end about, like, Sho is going for his package pile driver thing. Does that have a name yet? The shock arrow. Thank you. He couldn't hook it because of his finger damage, which I thought was, like, I was like, wow, that's the first time in a long time I can recall the Marty finger break thing actually playing into the finish. So that was good. And then Sho, he still, like, just uses pure power. Just, like, power out of the chicken ring right into the pile driver for the pin, which is, I thought, a really cool finish. And a good little payoff for the whole, like, Marty numpty hunters thing where he kept saying, like, he was going to on this unstoppable roll after he lost his first couple matches. So, but yeah, this was a... I thought it paid off the storyline with Marty. I thought it was a, you know, it continued Sho's whole thing of, like, you know, winning with his power because, you know, clearly being positioned as a power junior. And I thought it was, I went 3 3/4 on it by the end. I thought it was very good. Probably Marty's best match, I think. Or no, I think second best. I really didn't like his tour that much, but I thought this was a really good match.
Yeah, probably this went over 20 minutes, probably too long. And we saw much longer matches this whole tour. I think I did the math and I think the matches were the average match was a bit under 3 minutes longer, which is quite a bit more time.
And that's not including the final, right?
That's not including the finals, no. Yeah. And the finals were the longest match in Super Junior's history, period. Yeah. So, yeah, a bit too long by half, but some very, very good stuff. Some, you know, like you said, the finger breaking on the shock arrow, kind of stuff paying off nicely. So, good stuff by the end.
Then the main event, Hiromu Kishida. Why don't you start on this one? What do you think of this one?
Certainly not their best. I mean, I still liked it. Not their best match by, you know, not even close. Yeah, the very long lockup sequence.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I just thought it was just kind of odd as I was watching it. Maybe if I go back in retrospect, I'd appreciate it more. Solid match overall. Like, I don't know if they were kind of not so much taking it easy, but Hiromu knew he was going to go to the finals and just go completely balls out the next night, so he was taking it a little bit easier.
In his second, the B block is worth noting that they had to do 3 straight nights.
Yeah.
So, like, I think they were taking a little bit. Hiromu definitely. I think that's a good point that he was taking a little easier.
Yeah. So I mean, given what these two have done in the past, it's probably a little disappointing, but probably more understandable given the circumstances. And still a well worked match.
I mean, I still went 4 stars on it, so I still thought it was really good. You know, but I was more into, like, the slow, like, you know, the lockup step at the start. You know, I thought, like, I basically thought, like, into the middle it was a little bit boring, but by the end, once Hiromu was, like, trying to take shortcuts again, you know, he raked the eyes at one point, and, like, it really felt like he was, I don't know how to describe this, like, he was capturing the essence of his character, where it's like he is a guy who he might be beloved by the crowd, but he's still willing to take these fucking shortcuts. He just gets, for some reason, he just gets cheered for them anyway, which is really cool, I guess, if you can pull it off. But then everything after the eye rake I thought was awesome, where, like, Hiromu countered or the Kimura into the dynamite plunger, which is one of the best counters of the entire tour, I thought. And then we got the debut of the double underhook pile driver here, which was, like, you know, Kushida, he was struggling in the triangle choke, which is called the D, by the way, for those who've seen the GIFs or the still images of, like, Hiromu talking about his D. This is what he's talking about. So Kushida struggles to make the ropes. He gets the ropes. Hiromu just, like, hits this disgusting double underhook pile driver, drops him, like, right on his head. Like, underhook isn't even the right word, because it's like a, I don't know. It's like a butterfly underhook.
Yeah, he kind of like butterflies his arms almost to the side and not like locking his hands
together.
Have
you ever seen that before? Because I don't
know. No, he just...
like he just decided to invent a new move.
Sure.
He's like, oh, let me invent the sickest head drop I can come up with. Because she's like, I'll take it. So. Yeah.
He's like, my tour is done pretty much, so go for it.
But yeah, then he locks it right back in and that gets the win. So by the end of it, I was really, really into it. And, you know, like you said, definitely not up to the level of their matches last year. You know, the match of the Durham and the match of Duntaku were both like, you know, I think I went 4 3/4 in them both. But this was still, I still thought this was a really good match and a good main event. So, but it, you could definitely tell that Hiromu was like, I need to save something for tomorrow. I'm gonna be really, really, you know, throwing it all out there. But overall, I thought this was a really great show. I mean, almost nothing bad, you know, lots of good stuff, and it just flew right by.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I have to say, I always have to give credit for these round-robin tournaments because they have to be such a pain to come up with. You know, getting your wrestlers, putting them in blocks for fresh matchups and spacing out big matches, but still telling a story, but having matches where, you know, you have a drawing match on every show and having, you know, the points come out at the end. Because I tried predicting every match as I went, and it's such a pain by the end because you're like, oh, wait, this guy has a tiebreaker over this guy, so I got to start all over. So I always, you know, I know there are a ton of these in Japan, but, you know, it's always an impressive effort when you have a good tournament.
Have you ever tried to book one for, like, a game or something? Because I have, and it's, like, really difficult.
It is, yeah.
I mean, every time I'll get, like, all the way to the end and be like, oh, like you're saying, like, oh, this guy, he has a tiebreaker now. That's not good. I can't do that.
Yeah, and, like, yep.
And back in the day, like, they used to at least do, like, those, like, at one point, like, the top three people in a block would make it to, like, the semis or the finals. And, you know, at least the top two. Now it's just been like the winner of each block.
Yeah.
You don't do a semifinal anymore. So like you really cannot have, you have no margin for error. You have to get your two people into the final that are supposed to be there basically. So
yep.
Yeah, it's just it must be very difficult. But yeah, so that was the June 3rd show. And then we get to June 4th, which was the next day also at Corken Hall. Not a ton to talk about on the opening matches. I like the Suzuki-gun Chaos match with Roppongi Vice and Goto against Taichi, Kanemaru and Desperado. I thought that was good build for both title matches, and obviously got a kick out of seeing my boy Taichi back after a while.
Seeing all the heavyweights is like had a, you know, this kind of appeal because we hadn't seen them in forever. It's like, yeah. Oh my god, it's Yujiro, awesome!
Yeah, because like they were wrestling all this time except for I think Tanahashi, Okada, and Omega, I think, had most of the tour off. But like, they were on all these shows. It's just, like, they were not making tape because only the four junior matches were making tape. So, but, yeah, it was cool seeing these guys back again. And, like I said, I thought Taichi came off, like, a star here, as he usually does. I hope he wins the never openweight title. But, yeah, that was a cool little six-man, I thought. And then we had the LIJ versus Seki-gun match. I have to bring this up because of ACH's crazy dance moves to Naito's theme song. Like, what the fuck was that?
He's Naito has this catchy dance tune, so ACH did some dancing.
Do you think they planned that? I really don't think they did.
I don't think so.
Because Naito had this look on his face, like he had no idea what was going on. He was bemused, but also like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. So if they had planned that, if ACH told them beforehand, like he did a really good, he's a really good actor then.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he like, he basically like encouraged ACH to do it again and acted like he was going to do it with him and then like kicked him from behind.
Yeah.
He actually got booed at Corkin for that.
I know. Jeez.
Can you even think of the last time he got booed at Corkin? But yeah, I mean, then, you know, there was also like another moment where like Dragon Lee like busted out Naito's own corner combo, which I thought was really cool. But yeah, that was a fun 8-man tag. The other thing I didn't mention too was Chris Sabin was on commentary on the English feed. I don't know if you were watching that.
I did watch the English one. Yeah.
In the semifinal, he really was getting like hardcore, like notice me senpai towards Okada. Like he really loves him some Kazuchika Okada.
Hey, if a man knows where his bread's buttered, he wants to come back, then he knows the score.
Like, Okada gave, like, this post-match promo, and, like, right before he started talking, like, Saban was like, I hope he says my name.
That's right.
And then when, after the promo was over, he's like, are you sure? When the guy, they have a guy there translating now, and Saban just, like, turns to him and says, are you sure he didn't say Chris Saban's my favorite wrestler?
I think we would have picked up on that even.
Yeah, he was cracking me up. But I guess we can get into the main event now, the best of the Super Junior Final. overall, what do you think of this match?
Oh, this is up there in all time Super Junior's finals matches. This match is incredible. Did you watch it live or did you see it?
I didn't see it live, but I was not really spoiled. I thought maybe I was spoiled by Hiromu won, but I wasn't like 100% sure. So when I was watching, I didn't feel like confident that Hiromu won, basically. So
yeah, I kind of thought Taiji would win, given he's the new guy and could get the big boost, but with Hiromu, I wasn't sure. And yeah, I did watch this live. This kind of aired at the perfect time to get it, just before I had to get my son up for school. And I was just, God, I was just so enthralling, and just so much back and forth, so much craziness in this. Like, you thought the double underhook pile driver to Kushida was bad. The one he gave him here, it was like, Jesus Christ. I literally, like, stood up. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like,
I wrote, kill this man. I wrote a whole list of spots because there's so many of them. But, like, there's the main takeaway from this. I mean, I listened to Dave Meltzer talk about it today, which, you know, I don't always listen to The Observer still, but I like hearing, like, his takes on matches sometimes. He said it was, like, one of the 10 best matches I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's seen a lot of matches.
Yeah, I kind of thought that might be a little bit strong, but then when I went back and rewatched it, like, you know, today with the Japanese commentary this time, just to give that a try, and, like, it was still really fucking good. I mean, I went 5 stars on it, and it's my match of the first match I gave him 5 stars this year, and my match of the year. And I was trying to think if there's, first of all, I was trying to think if there's ever been a better Best of the Super Junior Final. And I mean, nothing like jumped out at me as being definitively better.
I mean, I still remember the, was it 97, the Samurai Kinemoto one, but I haven't seen that in like 10 years. So maybe it's not close, but still,
There's some really good ones, but like when in the voice wrestling Slack, someone said like it was their least favorite one of the last 5 years. So I was like, what? Because like the last five, there's been some really good ones, but like the only one I would put like even close to this is Kushida and Kyle O'Reilly. But even that one, like I went like 4 3/4 on it. I still wouldn't put it quite at this level. And you know, the other thing I was trying to think of like is where this match would rank last year. Because I think last year was, you know, a better year for in-ring than this year has been so far. And I still think it might be, like, top three. Yeah. So, I mean, this was a really incredible match. I mean, they went out there and decided that they were going to have a, you know, one of these all-timer matches. And they did this, like, 6 days before Dominion, which is the craziest part to me. 6 days before Hiromu has to turn around and wrestle a third match for the top with Will Ospreay now. After he won this, he was like, I'm just going to go out there and, you know, have the fucking match of the year. And that's what he did at Corrigan Hall in front of 1,800 people. And, you know, that's why he's so fucking great, you know? Like, it doesn't matter what the building is. It doesn't matter what the stage is. Like, he had some classic matches all throughout this tournament. And just, I don't know. He doesn't believe in saving himself, clearly.
No. He worked the Ring of Honor War of the Worlds tour. Right before this, the Best of the Super Juniors kicked off, like the week before. He and Bushi both did, but I'm sure they were that added a little bit of a degree of difficulty. Just being exhausted, and then just with this, and it's like the end of a tour, and right like 6 days before Dominion, like oh my god.
I mean, yeah, and I want to understand Taiji either, because this was the best match. You know, I've seen a lot of Taiji Ishimori matches. You know, I've followed his career ever since he started in Toriumon X, and this was the best I've ever seen him look. I thought like he is a guy that saves himself up for this one match. I think like he got through the tour without really like you know going crazy or anything on any of these matches. But boy did he was ready for this one. Oof. That was pretty clear. So let's go through some of these spots here. We have the first of all the Ishimori did like a backflip out of a sunset. The sunset bomb, the Hiromu jumps to the floor, lands on his feet perfectly, and immediately they start forming each other. Like, that's one of the coolest fucking things I think I've ever seen. And that was like a minute into the match or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do like a long forearm exchange. They brawl up into the crowd. Hiromu does that running fucking crazy dropkick that he did against Desperado. Like on the, when you first walk out into the arm stand area, basically. And, you know, he gets a hell of a head start when he does that. And then probably I think the most crazy part of this match, when Ishimori countered a powerbomb into a Rana that sent Hiromu tumbling down the stairs. I fucking screamed when I saw this. Like, when I was watching this, I scared the shit out of my girlfriend because I just was like, I could not believe that he was taking, like, he didn't just roll down one or two stairs. He went all the way down the cork and stairs, like, head over heel. Like, so much shit could have gone wrong there.
Yeah, so, he could have, like, hit his head or a hundred other things.
Could have broken his fucking neck.
Yep. Like, yeah, it's not like, no, like I said, this wasn't a slow roll, like, go down, like, to, like, a stair and then, like, grab the railing and, like, ease your way down. Like, he went down the stairs.
Yeah. Like, that was the only spot in this match where it's like, you guys probably shouldn't have done that. But, I mean, it's one of those things I'll never forget. It's like,
no.
It reminds me of, you know, the other one I can think of is when Samoa Joe versus Sting in TNA. When Joe does that drop kick,
the
flying drop kick where he like Christ. Jumps from like one stair down into the crowd and like lands right, like, yeah, that's another, to me, it's like right up there with that one as far as like craziest like crowd brawling stair spots. But yeah, and then there's like a floor wheelbarrow at one point where like Hiromu like grabs Ishimori and like wheelbarrows him and like drops him right on the ground. I was like, that had to fucking suck for Ishimori. And then right after that, Hiromu does like his crazy shotgun drop kick off the apron. But yeah, then they did some great drama with the crossface where I really thought, I was like, oh, did Taiji just win this here? Like, I was like, I really thought like he might have had the win there. And then, you know, Ishimori, like, at one point he like lands on his feet after like this huge release German from Hiromu, but then like runs right into like this huge overhead belly to belly into the corner, which is a really cool sequence. Hiromu does like the craziest lariat you've ever seen with Ishimori like doing like three flips in midair or something. But yeah, there's just like this weird like leg run to the midsection off the top rope. Hiromu did that. He did it to Kushida too in the Wrestle Kingdom match. So it was that same spot. And and then finally, Hiromu no sold a reverse Rana, which is like, I was waiting for somebody. Someone else in Nutria might have done it, but this is the first one I could think of because that reverse run has become such like a go-to, like, you know, end of match spot. And Hiromu just fucking no-sells it and it hits a reverse run of his own.
Yeah, that's like Taiji like kind of started to lean forward, but then kind of, so it was not like a clean.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Landing on that one too. Then he got dumped on his head.
It was amazing Hiromu even got him over.
Yeah.
Then there was another crazy lariat where like Ishimori hits a lariat and Hiromu does like, you know, he does like a flip and like lands on his neck somehow.
Yeah.
And then he kicks out one, which was, you know, one of those like jump up moments. But yeah, there was, and then we get into all the stuff with the D where Hiromu does like this twisting arm drag counter of the bloody cross. It was a really cool counter and nobody had been countering that move from Ishimori almost all tour. And then, you know, he gets the D. Taiji tries to lift him. The D is a triangle choke, by the way, if you don't know. Taiji tries to lift him into a powerbomb. He fails. The 30-minute mark hits. He lifts him again and powerbombs him into the corner. He's the first person to break that fucking move in the entire tour. But they say like, it'd be a death for everybody else. And finally, someone breaks the D on Hiromu. And it's just such a great moment. Then Hiromu gets it again. Ishimori like escapes quickly in a powerbomb lift again. So then Hiromu like head drops him with that insane butterfly arm pile driver and locks in the D again. The exact same finish as the Kushida match with the, you know, the butterfly arm into the D. But this time Taiji makes the ropes, which was like that blew my mind because I was like, how the fuck did Taiji make the ropes after all that? And then, you know, Hiromu, you know, he does the time, he goes to the time bomb. He gets counted into the bloody cross. Hiromu counters that into the corner charge. And then he hits the time bomb and wins, which was just such a fucking fantastic finish. And yeah, this was like the definition of a five-star match to me. I don't even know where, like, what you could really nitpick with this if you tried. So, like, I thought both guys selling was amazing. I thought both guys hit everything they tried, even when it looked like they were going to, like, you know, slip up, they managed to, like, pull it out at the end, like, with that reverse Rana. This is as close to a perfect match as you can get, I think.
Yeah, no, it was perfect in every regard. Like, I can't really find a fault with it, so. Man, just super into a super tournament.
And then Hiromu afterwards, he, when Will Ospreay came out, you know, for the big challenge for Dominion, Hiromu's big response was, thank you, meow. And then Will Ospreay, he turns to the camera and says, you motherfucker, now you're dead. But he's also trying so hard not to laugh.
I'll bet.
Which is really great. And then Naito broke the trophy. Oh, I love them so much.
Hiromu's got a win on Saturday, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, loses after all this. Ugh, I don't know. But I really like Will's title run, so I'm not, you know, I don't think it's time for that to end, so I don't know. Right. But I think Hiromu, all the momentum he has, I think he's got to win.
Yeah, I mean, like, people were, I will say, it's one of those things where even if he loses on Saturday, I don't think it's the end of the world, because he just, you know, he won the tournament, and he can always have a rematch in, like, October or at the Dome or something. I do think it kind of exposed that people needed to calm the fuck down earlier this year when people were like, they're wasting Hiromu, and da, da, da. Like, that was a big thing on Twitter. And it's like, it's not like he was ever doing nothing. I mean, he was in the four-way at the Dome. He was in, you know, had a title challenge against Ospreay in February, and then he went right to the junior tag title feud for, like, months, and that occupied his time. And then he won as the Super Junior. So I don't know, like, some of, like, the they're wasting Hiromu stuff, like, it just, it really looks, like, really overblown now, I think.
I just remember thinking it was odd he was pinned in their last...
That is true, but he was pinned by Desperado, I think.
Yeah, I guess that is true. Which, I think that does play to a larger story. We didn't really know they were telling at the time, so I guess that's fine. Respect. I thought that was odd, not a red flag, but just like, well, Bushi's right there, so
right. And in hindsight, I think it makes sense.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I just think it's a little moment where, you know, I'm not always like the most positive person on New Japan booking, but I wanted to definitely like defend Gedo a little bit here and be like, I think he kind of knew what he was doing with Hiromu. I think everybody needs to calm down a little bit. But, and the fact that he won this tournament at the end obviously makes it a lot easier to say that, you know?
Yeah.
I think if he had gone to the final and had this amazing match and lost to Ishimori, it wouldn't have been like the end of the world either. But just the fact that he, you know, won the thing was just a really cool thing. And by the way, they faked everybody out with Ishimori, which I think they deserve credit for. Like, they had him debut attacking Ospreay. Like, you said it. You thought Taiji's going to win this because he had gotten the big push. He was the newcomer. He had that segment on Dontaku. He beat Ospreay. Like, because of all that, you thought Will was going to win. So I thought, that Taiji was going to win. So I think they probably deserve some credit for setting that up really well.
And they could always, I mean, I don't know, if Will does win, Taiji does still hold a victory over him. So they can always go back to that. And I think, you know, he, with that finals, he did a fine job elevating himself.
Yeah, I think, I don't think Taiji's in any trouble at all.
No.
But I mean, Hiromu's so clearly the most popular guy in the division that,
yeah,
it just, I think people who were worried about like, oh, he's not doing anything, I think everybody just need to calm down a little bit and give it some time. But yeah, the finals, really fucking great match. Hiromu Takahashi's probably, it's, we're going to talk about between this final and then all the other great matches in this tournament, he probably rocketed up my list as far as like best wrestlers in the world this year. I think he's probably pretty close to the top. I don't know
he's
about
good.
You.
Yeah, he's got a good case. He's certainly made a good case these last few weeks.
Oh, the other reason, by the way, I think he's going to win on Saturday. I don't know if this matters. Maybe they don't care if the junior champion's not around, but like, I don't think Ospreay's working the G1 tour. I think he didn't last year, and I don't think he will again. I think he's going to, it sounds like he's going to be in New Zealand, Australia, like trying to elevate the wrestling there. Like, I know him and his girlfriend were looking at a house there or something. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be around for the summer. So maybe they just don't want to have the junior champion, like, even though obviously he wouldn't be defending it during the G1. I don't know if you want your champion being like an absentee champion, you know? So, like, Hiromu won't be on in the G1, but it'll be on the shows.
Maybe.
Undercard tag, so that might be a factor. I'm not saying it's definitely a factor, but I could see it. But yeah, let's get into our Best of the Super Junior grades and all that.
Okay, now. Let's do it.
All right, so Block A, we'll start with the A block, which I should say I thought was by far the weaker of the two blocks.
Yeah.
We'll go in order here of standings. So we'll start with Taiji Ishimori, who won 5-2 with 10 points. He won the block on a tiebreaker. He defeated Will Ospreay, defeated Bushi, lost to Flip Gordon, lost to Kanemaru, defeated Tiger Mask, defeated ACH, and defeated Yo. Ishimori, in these grades for him and Hiromu, I'm not including the final because I don't think it's really fair to grade them on an extra match that, you know, had this big spot. Like, I'm just strictly grading his tournament matches here. I did not think he had a good tournament at all, actually. Like, the grade I gave him before I watched the final was a D+. Like, I just did not enjoy most of his matches. I thought he needed to show a lot more. Now, in hindsight, after watching the final, it's clear that he was saving himself for the final, so I get it. But I just didn't think he had a good tournament. I don't know. It just wasn't. He was just very, very much just there for me. Maybe I could, like, elevate it to, like, a C- or something, but he didn't stand out at all, and I thought he needed to as a guy debuting. But obviously, it's a moot point anyway, because he sure as hell stood out in the finals, so.
I had him around a B-. I liked him a bit better than you. If you put him, include the finals, I have him at a B+. I think he was hampered.
If you include the finals, the final was so good, I'd go, like, B, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's somewhat hampered by the fact that, like, he's like a natural born baby face and has been, like, from the moment he debuted. And now he's kind of working through this new heel character here and doing different things and new moves and figuring it out. So I think he was at a bit of a disadvantage there. But like you said, he did kind of conserve himself during the tournament to go to the finals.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that too, because he never, I mean, as a in the Toriumon X, he was the babyface ace.
Yep.
And in Noah, he was never really a heel. No. So this was like his first, you know, he was like the flying star was his gimmick. So
yeah, and he had to, you know, work through this on the biggest stage for a junior, pretty much. So
yeah, I thought like
him a little bit of a break, but yeah. not in the greatest tournament, no.
What you have is his best match.
If we don't include, I mean, the finals clearly. But
yeah, we don't include the final.
A couple, I like the Will match. I thought that was a good start for him there. I like the ACH match as well. Probably one of those two.
Yeah, I went with the Will match, but the ACH won't be the other one that I would put close to. But did you write down a worst match for these guys or no?
I didn't really figure out the worst match.
The worst, worst match for him, I would put down Flip Gordon on May 24th. I just didn't think it was very good, but. There's two guys that are going to come up a lot in the worst match on this tour. So. But yeah, that was Ishimori. Not the greatest tournament, but obviously he really made up for it with that final. So, and that's what people are going to remember anyway. So. Second place was Will Ospreay, 5-2, 10 points. He lost Ishimori, defeated ACH, defeated Yo, lost to Bushi, defeated Kanemaru, defeated Tiger Mask, and defeated Flip Gordon. I gave him a solid B. I thought he was good pretty much throughout the tournament. There wasn't a ton of matches that I didn't like here, and he probably had one of the stronger tournaments in the A block. He didn't really have like a ton of super blow away matches in my opinion, but he didn't have a lot of great opponents to work with, so I get it. But yeah, that's pretty much where I was at with him, just a solid B.
I bumped him up to an A because I thought he was the best guy in his block, and like you said, he didn't have the greatest opponents. Like Block B, you know, and a lot of the guys in the tournament had their best match against Will. So I thought he did a real solid job there. And yeah, that's about it. So he main evented a lot of the shows. And I thought he did a great job. So he was one of the three top guys for me in the tournament.
For his best match, I went with the ACH match on May 20th in Numazu, which I gave 4 stars. I thought it was a very good match. And a great battle between, you know, two Western style high flyers and surprisingly physical too. They did a lot of chops, which are good for that match.
Yeah, I would agree. That was his best outing.
His worst outing, I went with the Kanemaru match on May 29th. I just thought that was very boring, but not a lot of people had a great match with Ken and Mario. The rest of the block is all tied 3 and 4, so we'll just go alphabetical order now. ACH, 3 and 4, 8 points. He defeated Flip, lost to Ospreay, lost to Kanemaru, defeated Yo, lost to Bushi, lost to Yoshimori, and defeated Tiger Mask. Another guy that I put right with a solid B. I thought he did the best he could with the block, and he didn't really have a ton of stinkers or anything. There again didn't have like those super blowaway matches either, but I thought he had a pretty good tournament.
I had him in A minus there. He was someone who really put it all together in the tournament. He always had the charisma and the high flying. He added the striking, and I thought selling was really good throughout the tour too. And someone I would definitely like to see back. I don't know if there's room for him. It sounds like he's going to other pastures anyway, maybe not greener, but definitely other ones.
Definitely. We'll see.
But, yeah.
A place that definitely needs more tiny high flyers.
Mm. So, yes. So, yeah, best match against Ospreay and a really good tournament for him.
Okay, that's what I have, too, for his best match, Ospreay on May 20th. And for his worst match, I have Kanemaru on May 24th. So, just not a nothing match, kind of. Bushi, 3 and 4. He lost to Yo, lost to Ishimori, and lost to Tiger Mask. The second year in a row, he started his tournament off with 3 straight losses. Defeated Ospreay, defeated ACH, defeated Flip, and then lost to Kanemaru in that whiskey / mis-splitting match we talked about earlier. So I gave him a C+. I only thought he was slightly above average. I just thought, a lot of times during the tournament, he just kind of looked like he was there. But, you know, he managed to put it together for a couple really good matches, which is, you know, more than some of the other people on the block. And, you know, I just thought he was a little bit above average, so C+.
I had him at a C, just kind of a blah tournament. He just seems like someone who has a good spot and is content to stay there, and he's not going to make the leap like someone like Desperado did this year.
Yeah.
And best match, I don't even know. I didn't think I wrote one down, but I did like the Kanemaru match by the end, at least for the finish.
There were two matches I liked of his. I liked the Yo match on May 18th. I went 4 stars on that, and that would be the one I put at best. And then I liked the Ospreay match, too, from the May 26th show in Nagoya. I went 3 3/4 on that one. So I'd slightly edge out the Yo match. His worst match I thought was the Flip Gordon match on May 31st. Speaking of Flip Gordon.
Oh boy.
3 and 4, lost to ACH, defeated Kanemaru, defeated Ishimori, defeated Tiger Mask, lost to Yo, lost to Bushi, lost to Ospreay. Do you want to guess what I gave the Flipster?
Is it F for Flip?
It is indeed F for Flip.
Oh, wow.
I had a terrible tournament.
Rich Craig owes me $5.
Oh, really?
I bet he gives him an F.
And what if Rich didn't think I'd give him an F?
No, I don't know. I made a note about it. I bet she does. So there you go.
I just thought he had a terrible tournament. I don't know. I mean, I ranted enough about how much I hate the guy, I guess. But, like, you know, I just didn't think he was any good.
No. I'm at a B for the Flipster. I thought the ACH and Will matches were awesome, and the rest was decent. He really got himself over in the tournament. People were going pretty nuts for him.
He did get himself over. That's pretty.
I got to give him some credit there. Not perfect. Not even like top half, but still, you know, decent enough.
I thought his best match was the Tiger Mask match in Nagoya because I thought it was really funny how bad he was in that match, and how much more competent as a wrestler Tiger Mask was. So that was the most enjoyment I got out of a Flip match. I thought his worst match was the Bushi match, which was just, I don't know what the fuck he was doing in that match, but there was just like, there were a lot of things in that match that just didn't make any sense. I don't know. I'm trying to remember what the fuck there was like some spot that like really, really upset me when I was watching that match, but I don't even remember what it was now. Just all the Bushi matches kind of went together for me now, I guess.
Mm.
Or all the Flip matches, I should say. But yeah, so what do you think his best match was? The ACH or the Ospreay?
Probably the ACH one, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, Flip Gordon, not very good, in my opinion. But other people like him, so that's fine. Let's see. Up next, Tiger Mask 4, 3 and 4. Defeated Kanemaru, defeated Yo, defeated Bushi, starting out 3-0. Then he lost to Flip, lost to Ishimori, lost to Ospreay, lost to ACH, and that was Tiger Mask tournament. I went 3 and 4. Oh, I remember what I hated about the Bushi Flip match.
Oh, good.
Wait, okay. So Flip Gordon, he does this dive, okay, on Bushi. And he did this all tournament, but this is the worst example. Bushi's, like, standing there in, like, the perfect position to catch him. And Flip does this dive and manages to miss Bushi's entire fucking body. He maybe grazed his arm lightly with his arm, and that's it, and lands on his feet. So basically makes Bushi have to take, like, a giant bump for nothing, for no contact. Like, he was shot with an invisible cannonball. I just, like, if that one spot doesn't, like, sum up Flip Gordon's entire tournament. He did a flip, and he was happy with himself for landing on his feet, but he made his opponent look like a fucking idiot for having to take a phantom bump. So, and then this is also the match where he was, like, yelling, like, oh, like he was doing karaoke of the 90s hit Unbelievable by EMF every time he got hit by a forearm from Bushi. So, yeah, this was really bad. He was really terrible in this match. He also sold for the MX like he was, like, an 8-year-old, like, getting told in a school play that he was shot and had to go down. So, like, there was a weird delay when he took the move, but...
Anyway, back to Tiger Bass. I'm sure his waiting is great if he's listening to this.
B-minus is what I hate Tiger Bass. I thought he had a good tournament. You know, really nothing wrong with it. Nothing, like, super blow-away, but just solid performances in every match, so...
I had him at a B, which is maybe grading on a curve, because he is 47 years old. He's been doing this forever.
That's true.
I kind of forget that. I mean, he goes back to the Michinoku Pro days, the prime of that company. I think he's usually pretty okay in these tournaments. I think he benefited by Jushin Liger not being there, because they kind of play the same role, only Liger is more popular, and you kind of wonder why you need Tiger Mask. But he did a lot of really solid work in this, kind of his one of his better outings. And I really like the Yo match in this. I thought that was his best work. But overall, like, a really solid and surprising output from him.
Yeah, I thought he was good. Let's see. Yo was up next. He had 3-4, just like everybody else here in the A block, other than those two people. He defeated Bushi, lost to Tiger Mask, lost to Ospreay, lost to ACH, defeated Flip, defeated Kanemaru, and lost to Ishimori. I went B- for Yo also. I thought, again, he was good throughout the tournament. He just didn't have, like, that one blow-away performance. And I think it might even be, like, comparing it to Sho that really hurts him, because I think Sho in the other block had, like, such a great fucking tournament that, like, Yo, in comparison, just looks like he was good, but he could have been better. And maybe that's unfair because Sho had a lot better opponents. But, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with Yo. I went B-. Good tournament. Certainly held up his end of the bargain, and excited to see what he can do in the future.
Yeah, I had him at a B. A nice tournament for him. Good output. Nothing superlative. Kind of overshadowed a bit by his partner, but you know, it was fresh to see him in there. I thought that was really nice, and solid output overall.
Best match, I went with the Bushi match, May 18th at Korakuen. I went 4 stars on that. I thought it was a really good match.
I think I like the Tiger Mask one the best.
Yeah, that was good too. His worst match, Flip Gordon, May 29th. Yoshinobu Kanemaru, 3-4. Lost to Tiger Mask, lost to Flip, defeated ACH, defeated Ishimori, lost to Ospreay, lost to Yo, and defeated Bushi. I went C- on Kanemaru. I thought he really wasn't very good throughout the tournament. He had a couple matches that I really enjoyed, and they were both like around 10 minutes long, so maybe that's just what he is at this point, but the Tiger Mask match and the Bushi match. But yeah, and basically everything in between wasn't that great, so I gave him a little bit of credit for having a couple good matches, and it's not like he was, like, super awful or anything, but he was just kind of just there. But yeah, I would C- on him.
Yeah, I had the same grade. Nothing embarrassing, but just not, you know, how many times can you spit whiskey at someone? So. I don't even know. I guess I like Bushi match the best at the end there.
I went with Tiger Mask, but yeah, it would have been between those two. I thought the Tiger Mask match was just, like, shockingly good and kind of started Tiger Mask good tournament. So, worst match? You want to guess?
Oh, boy.
Flip Gordon.
Oh, okay. let me think before you say the answer.
Oh, sorry.
I'll get a chance to guess.
I thought that was a joke, that it was obvious, but I guess you could have gone with something, too. But A block... You know, it was okay, but clearly the B block was better, as we'll get into here. Starting out with Hiromu Takahashi, who went 5-2, defeated Marty Scurll, lost to Desperado, lost to Dragon Lee, defeated Taguchi, defeated Chris Sabin, defeated Cho, defeated Kushida. I mean, I went A+ for Hiromu, and that's not even including the final. You know, there was only one match that I didn't like out of all of them, and he just had so many great matches, including what I thought was the best match other than the final too. So I might as well just say that his best match for me was the Desperado match on May 22nd, which I gave 4.5 stars. I thought, you know, it's on my match of the year list. So I just thought he had an outstanding tournament. I mean, what else is there to say?
Yeah, A for me, A+ if you want to throw in the finals. He was my MVP of the tournament, pretty clearly. I mean, the Dragon Lee and Desperado matches were out of this world, but just the solid output throughout. Just the best guy, deserving winner.
4.5 against Desperado, 4 against Dragon Lee, 4.25 against Taguchi, and 4.25 against Sho, and 4 flat against Kushida. So, outstanding tournament.
Yep.
The worst match, the only match in the tournament I didn't like for his was the very first one, which was Marty Scurll. So that was kind of weird.
A long, boring
20-minute match, I thought. But yeah, Kushida was in second, 4-3, 8 points. He had the tiebreaker over Marty for second place. So there you go, Kushida. You got second all to yourself. He lost to Chris Sabin, defeated Marty Scurll, lost to Taguchi, Cho, defeated Desperado, defeated Dragon Lee, and lost to Hiromu. I went with an A for Kushida. I thought he had a very good tournament again, as he pretty much does every year. You know, a lot of, again, like I had 3 different 4-star matches, another one 3.75. So just fantastic tournament for him.
I have him at a B+. I thought he was quietly solid, or solidly quiet, one of the two. Flew under the radar a bit because, I mean, the guys like Romu had the much flashier matches there, but really solid output all along. I mean, we talked about the Taguchi match was a wash, and the Romu match was still very good, a little disappointing, but the Dragon Lee and Desperado matches were very, very good. Even with the part where he was on the mail cart or something and Desperado pushed him around.
Yeah.
But that was a little odd, but still a lot of good stuff. And it felt like he was kind of taking a step back this year and giving other people, because he'd been so fairly dominant in the tournament. But he took a little bit of a step back this year for the betterment of everything overall.
Now, here's where the difference might come in between our grades. What did you think of a show match?
I liked it. It wasn't like, I think it would crack my top 5, but I really liked it because I wasn't spoiled or anything. I was just watching it and I'm like, wow, this is really math based, and it kept going, and it helped me. I thought it was really an interesting effort on his part to do something different like that in the tournament. I really liked it. It was not my match of the year or anything like that, or even my match of the tournament, but still kind of an interesting experiment of sorts.
Yeah, I went 4.25 on it. I thought it was Kushida's best match of the tournament, and it's not gonna make my top 5 either because there's so many great matches, but like I thought it was fucking awesome, so that might be the difference. That was Kushida's best match, just barely beats out the Despy match, the Hiromu match, the Lee match. But yeah, he had a fantastic tournament, and the worst match I had was the Marty Scurll one on May 22nd at Korakuen. I just didn't really care for that one. I also thought the Chris Sabin match was kind of disappointing, but the only other match I didn't really think that highly of. Okay, third place, Marty Scurll, 4-3. He lost to Hiromu, lost to Kushida, defeated Sabin, defeated Desperado, defeated Dragon Lee, defeated Taguchi, and lost to Sho. Marty Scurll, to me, gets a D+. I thought he had a very poor tournament. The only real black mark in this tournament. I thought he had 2 really good matches. The Desperado match, May 27th, I went 4 stars on. It was a great, like, 2 guys trying to out-cheat each other. And that was my favorite match of his in the tournament. And the show match, which at the end, I went 3.75. But the other 5 matches I thought were not very good. And that includes against guys who, like, had great matches with everybody else in the tournament. So I really had to give him a low grade because of that. Like, just to have boring matches with Dragon Lee and Hiromu on this tour is, like, pretty amazing and not in a good way. So... yeah, I just thought I thought the Taguchi match that was the worst one, the June 2nd one. So
I had him at a C. He had a largely forgettable tournament. I actually liked the Dragon Lee match he had. But it just seemed like he wandered in from the wrong company. It's like, what are you doing here when you see him? Maybe it's because, he's involved with the Never openweight titles, which are kind of more of a heavyweight title at this point, and all the stuff he's doing. He just didn't really fit in. You know, a lot of his matches weren't, you know, he had some good stuff, but a lot of his matches weren't that great.
He to me also, like, he was still really over, I have to say.
Yes.
So, like, the same thing as Flip, you have to give him credit for being over, but, like, yeah, I just didn't. I thought his in-ring was pretty terrible, so in those two matches. Fourth, Chris Sabin. We're getting all the three and four people now, so just alphabetical. He defeated Kushida, lost to Show, lost to Marty Scurll, defeated Dragon Lee, lost to Hiromu, defeated Desperado, lost to Taguchi. I went B-plus on Sabin. I thought he was almost shockingly good in this tournament. I mean, when he was announced, I did not expect, and like it might be like low expectations for him, but like I did not expect much, and he just went out there, and I thought he had a lot of great performances. Two really great matches. I went 4.25 on the Show match, May 22nd at Korakuen, which I thought was an outstanding match. Like, again, a shockingly good match. And then I went 4 stars on the Taguchi match at the end, which I thought was like another unexpected great match. And then he was pretty much solid in everything else. The only thing I didn't really like of his was the Kushida match they opened up the tournament with, which is like, wow, and that would be my worst match for him. Where like, you know, watching that match, it's like, oh, is he going to be able to do this? But then he had a great tournament, so, you know.
Yeah, I had him at a B. I think, you know, some people probably went in with overinflated expectations. Because, I mean, Sabin is a guy who's been around, you know, doing this for 18 years. He's mainly been a tag guy the last couple of years. But he went in and had some, you know, some very good matches, pretty solid throughout the tournament. You know, nothing crazy, but just solid, good workmanlike effort throughout.
Yeah, and I thought, see, maybe that's the opposite. I had the exact opposite. I had no expectations for him at all. So maybe that's why. But yeah. Then we had Dragon Lee at 3-4, defeated Sho, defeated Taguchi, defeated Hiromu, lost to Chris Sabin, lost to Marty Scurll, lost to Kushida, and lost to Desperado. He's another one I give an A-plus to. I mean, there'll be a bunch in this block, I'm telling you right now. And he's just, he had one bad match in the entire tournament, I think, with the one with Marty. And the entire rest of the tournament, I thought, you know, he just ranged from, like, he had 2 different 4.25-star matches at Desperado on June 3rd, which I thought was his best match of the tournament, and another, like, amazing match with Show on May 19th, the start of the tournament, which I went 4.25 on. But, you know, obviously a great match at Hiromu. I thought a really, you know, underrated match with Sabin. Just a fantastic tournament for him.
Yeah, I had him in one of my elite three for the tournament. Just, I mean, he was hurt before the tournament started, and people wondered, like, oh, will he be able to compete, or will it be hampered? And he was just crazy effort every night. And just, I mean, in terms of effort, it's tough to compete with him. And yeah, he had the tough spot. He won his first three matches, then had to lose out the rest of the way. But I mean, the matches, Takahashi, the Yo match, Kushida, I mean, just tons of just super high quality stuff throughout. So excellent, excellent, excellent job.
And then we have El Desperado, who went 3-4. And believe it or not, if not for the finals, this would be my MVP. He defeated Taguchi, defeated Hiromu, lost to Show, lost to Scurll, lost to Kushida, lost to Sabin, and defeated Dragon Lee. Obviously, if I said other than the final, he'd be my MVP, I would give him an A+. I went 4.5 on the Hiromu match, the best match of the tournament other than the final. You know, 4 stars on the Scurll match, one of the few people to have a good match with Scurll. 4 stars for Kushida and Taguchi, 4.25 with Dragon Lee, and 3.75 with Show. So just like, he almost did not have a bad match. I mean, the worst match for him I put down was Chris Sabin. I still think I gave that like 3.25. So I just thought he had an incredible tournament, an incredible coming out party for him. Not that he hasn't had good performances before, but like this is where he just elevated himself to like one of the top wrestlers in the division.
Yeah, I have an A- just because Dragon Lee and Hiromu were just a little bit better than him, but just super effort every time out. He finally made the jump. I think people have been waiting for this ever since he came back from Mexico, but kind of really cemented himself there as a player going forward. And just great, great matches. I would agree, besides the final, I think the Hiromu match was the match of the tournament. So that'll earn you some high marks.
The whole idea of the jump, too, I think that's a great point, because do you remember last year when he had that junior title match with Kushida at the Destruction, I think it was, which was like a very disappointing match, in my opinion. And I think that was the kind of thing where people were like really expecting the two of them to like tear the house down and really like, you know, Desperado show that he's a main player now. And it was very disappointing. It just was like, I just remember being like a 3-star match And, you know, I think people kind of thought maybe he's just never going to be that kind of singles player, even in the junior division. But boy, did he step it up here. And I thought he had a good tournament last year, but nothing like this.
No.
And like, this was where he really just like, you know, had his moment where like, if I was going to rank the best in-ring wrestlers of the year, like he's probably going to make my top 10 now. And pretty much just on the strength of this tournament. So I just thought he had a fantastic, fantastic tournament, and we'll see what he's able to do for the rest of the year here. I mean, I think it's mental if he doesn't get another junior title shot at least, and he probably should have a junior title reign.
So, yeah, they have the built-in storyline if Hiromu wins. I think that's a good next step.
Yeah. Ryusuke Taguchi is next, 3-4. He lost to Desperado, lost to Dragon Lee, defeated Kushida, lost to Hiromu, defeated Sho, lost to Skrull, and defeated Sabin. I gave Taguchi a B. I didn't think he was bad. I thought he had a couple matches where he just was there. But by the end, like, he's put together enough good matches that I would feel weird going lower than a B. What'd you have as
a grade? I am at a C+. I mean, he's a guy who usually turns it on during Best of Super Juniors. He just really didn't for me this year. I mean, there was some very good stuff, the Hiromu match and all that, but a lot of kind of matches. And maybe if he had a real, quote-unquote, real match with Kushida, it would have helped, but that's not the route they went.
I mean, I really liked the Saban match at the end, which wore a lot more than you did, so that's probably a big boost for him. But yeah, the Hiromu match, I thought the Dragon Lee match was good. I thought the Desperado match was really good. So just a lot of good stuff. The only match I really hated of his was the Marty Scurll match.
On Gordon. Oh, never mind.
No, the Marty Scurll match, because it just felt like way too long just to do that Eddie Kurt finish, you know? So I don't know. It just wasn't that, and didn't hold my attention throughout. And then it was not a great match. The last guy we're going to talk about is Sho, 3-4 again. Lost to Dragon Lee, defeated Chris Sabin, defeated Desperado, lost to Kushida, lost to Taguchi, lost to Hiromu, and defeated Marty Scurll. This is the guy that, like, before I did this, if you asked me what his grade was, I would have said like an A- maybe. But then when I went through his matches, he had a 4.25 match for me with Dragon Lee on May 19th. I think that's his best match. 4.25 for Kushida, 4 stars with Sabin, 3.75 with Desperado, 4.25 with Hiromu, 3.75 with Taguchi, 3.75 with Skrull, which was his worst match of the 7. So he's the only guy who probably didn't have a single bad match. Just amazing. You know, that's why I have to give him an A+. I mean, he was right there for me with like Desperado, Lee, and Hiromu, as far as like, and with the consistency, he just off the charts for him. So
yeah, I had him an A-, but going over those matches, he can't be less than an A. The real loser here is I really don't want to see Roppongi Vice team up anymore. Like, I want to see kind of both guys do their single stuff, you know, instead of wasting their time. But I mean, yeah, just a great matches and a great variety of matches too. He had the one with Kushida, and then kind of the crazy one with Dragon Lee, and just super stuff. Yeah, I don't want to see Roppongi 3K anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, it's just the you know, Yo is good. It isn't, like I said, though, like, it almost made Yo look bad by comparison, because Sho was just like, Sho looked like a fucking ace. I mean, Sho looked like the guy in these tournaments. Like, you know, it's very easy to do the Power Junior style and like stand out, you know, because you're getting to throw all these other little guys around, so that always helps. But like, he just had so much charisma too, you know, like, he just like, he looked like the complete package. And it's crazy that we're like 8 months into his career, like his post-Jungle career, and he looks like he's got it all figured out already. I mean, but we just talked about Desperado. It took him like, what, 4 fucking years after he came back from Excursion to put it all together finally? 5? It's been, when did he come back? 2013, 2014?
Somewhere in there.
So it's like 4 or 5 years you're talking about before he finally put it all together consistently. And, you know, had a tournament like this. It took Sho 8 months. So, I mean, like, you know, I've seen people even say, like, he could be a heavyweight ace, which is, like, he's a little short for that. But you know what? If they could, like, shoehorn him up there, maybe.
Yeah, I know size means less than it probably ever has before. He is pretty small, but hey, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, if his career ends up being, like, junior ace, then that's still a pretty damn good career.
Yeah, that's okay.
But yeah, so the B block was really fucking good.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what put this tournament over the top as far as being a you know, really good tournament. The A block was just there, but the B block was awesome. Do you want to do, do you have a top five matches?
I'll try to do one off the, I mean, okay. No, nothing surprising here. I think Hiromu Desperado was number one.
Oh, Hiromu Desperado?
Yeah. Oh, so Hiromu Desperado, I had number one, and then had the Dragon League match in there.
Oh, so sorry. What about, I'm counting Hiromu Ishimori. So do you want to still?
Oh, yeah. Oh, if that counts, then yes, absolutely number one.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for you.
Yeah, no, sorry. And then
Hiromu. So I also, so I have the same top two as you. Hiromu Ishimori number one, Hiromu Desperado number two.
And then, God, there's like, you know, 50 matches that could go in there.
I have Show Dragon Lee number three.
Yeah.
From May 19th. Desperado Dragon Lee number four from June 3rd. And then Kushida Show from May 27th, number five. But yeah, I just thought it was a, and there was a lot of like, a, you know, 4.25 stuff that I could put 3 through 5 as well. So like, you know, you could just kind of take your pick. But all B block, I have to say. Because,
yeah, yeah, I would focus on the B block if you need to do a catch up here.
But yeah, if you, so if you're not, so if you're not like Joe was saying, if you didn't see a ton of stuff, I would say like pretty much watch everything Hiromu, Dragon Lee, Desperado, and Show did, especially against each other. I mean, pretty much any of that is going to be really, really good.
Yep.
You know, if you have time, you can check out like Kushida stuff too, which is good. You know, you can check out Marty, not Marty Scroll, Chris Sabin stuff. Marty Scroll is the only one you can pretty much skip in the B block. But yeah, those guys, pretty much those four will not like steer you wrong. No. So, and then obviously Hiromu and Ishimori had an outstanding final to cap it all off.
Yep.
Good year.
Great. Yeah. Great. Great, great tournament.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Dominion before we get out of here?
Sure.
What are your thoughts on Kenny Okada? Is Kenny going to beat Okada for the title?
Oh, I think I was on Voices of Wrestling like a year ago and predicted Kenny would win the match and end up going the 60-minute draw. But I'll say Kenny does win this time. It's finally his time.
I'm going to say Okada retains.
You know, that's never a bad bet.
I don't know. I honestly think it's just being such a Naito fan and like just feeling so confident that Naito is going to win and then watching Okada just beat him that I just feel like now, like I'm just like, I just can't help but look at all these Omega fans being like, because I did a poll on my Twitter today and like for a while it was like 75% that thought Omega was going to win. And I was like, that's way too many of you that are like, you know, sure that Omega's gonna, like, I just, it feels like a moment where it's like, oh, you know, it's Okada, you know, like,
yeah,
it's just, there's always that chance. If you had to put a gun in my head, I would say Okada, but I'm like 60-40. Like, yeah. I definitely feel like Omega could win. Like, it will not surprise me at all if he does. But, if you, like, gun to my head, I still think Okada retains.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if Okada won. My jaw will not drop on the floor.
Do you think they're gonna, do you think they're gonna go, like, 90 minutes, like people are saying?
I'm gonna guess 75 total.
That seems fair. That's more about where I'm guessing, too. And do you think it's gonna, because I wasn't as high on some of the matches last year as some people, but I still, you know, the first two I did like quite a bit. Do you think it's on top the first two?
I'm gonna say no, because I just think 75 minutes is a long time for a wrestling match. I'm sure it'll be great, but I don't think it'll top.
I agree. I think the dome match will be safe as far as the best match of the three.
Mm.
Unless you think it's the Dominion match or something?
Nah, I'm probably the dome. I mean, they probably deserve a rewatch, but the dome still sticks out in my mind.
And then as far as Jericho Naito, do you think there's any chance Jericho's winning?
I could see that. I could, you know, call him fuckface and then take his belt, I guess.
To me, it all comes down to
up for the Cow Palace. I could see that happening.
Like, do they have him for another date? Right. That's basically.
Yeah.
Like, if they do, I actually do think he's winning because I think, you know, Naito. They have to get the stupid belt off of Naito probably, and just especially if he's going to be working, you know, the Dome against Okada again, which is what I think is going to end up happening. But you know, they could, if they don't have him for another date, then obviously Naito's retaining. So it's pretty much like, unless we, and without knowing that, there's no real way to guess. But I mean, my gut right now tells me Naito's retaining. But again, if Jericho wins, I'm not going to be surprised. Osprey, Hiromu, we kind of covered it. I think Hiromu's probably winning.
Yeah, I hope so at least.
I mean, I definitely hope so too. But I think he is. I think I feel reasonably confident. What about the tag titles? Are the Young Bucks winning the tag titles?
I think so. I mean, I think Evil and Sonata had a nice run, but yeah, I would like to see the Bucks have the tag titles at this point.
I'm going to say no, but it's only because the thing that throws me for a loop a little bit is the Young Bucks have those 6-man belts. So I don't know if you really want to put both titles on them, but like, I think maybe the Young Bucks are going to lose here, let Evil and Sonata carry the tag belts through the G1, and then maybe beat them for it at like Destruction or King of Pro Wrestling or something.
Yeah, nice thing about this show, there's nothing, certainly nothing is set in stone.
Yeah.
Where the big matches go, nothing predictable.
Yeah, it's you know, there's nothing here where you're like, oh yeah, it's not predictable at all, really, which is not, you can't always say that for New Japan. Never title, are you feeling a change?
Of some sort, I do hope Taichi wins. I think he'd be kind of great.
That I really hope so too.
Never title holder, I could see that.
I really want it, but I don't like if you put, I can't expect something like that because it'll just be too disappointing if it doesn't happen. I don't think Elgin's winning, but
yeah,
it's gonna be Taichi or Goto, but neither, I think probably Goto retains, but either way. And there's really nothing else. Oh, the junior tag title match, yeah, Roppongi 3K's winning that,
probably, yeah.
Yeah, it seems pretty clear. But all right, I guess we can wrap it up there then. Joe, thank you for coming on and listening to me scream about Flip Gordon.
Okay, no problem.
Do you want to plug anything?
Sure. Just follow me at Twitter at Joe Gagne, GAGNE. I want a word for my opinions on wrestling and all that. And 5-star match game here at Voices of Wrestling. John, on the last... on the list, episode about Dragon Gate, a great episode, if I have to say so.
Yeah, I listened back to it and I really enjoyed it too.
It's a lot of fun. Definitely check
solid,
that out.
Solid second, or I actually shouldn't say, should I?
Spoiler, it's been solid, a week, I think. People,
whatever place.
If people are listening to this, they probably listen to that. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, but still check it out.
Yeah, it's at a good time. And I guess you don't know who finished above and below me. So. But yeah, obviously you can follow us at WrestleOmakase. Oh, we did get one question.
That's right. Yes.
Let me see. I just remembered. So it's hard when you only get one question because it's like, you know, if you have a lot of questions, you go in thinking, you know, got a lot of questions to get to. But here we got one. So it's from at ABENJA1. With nearly a half year into New Japan 2018, how do you think New Japan's fared so far match quality wise? How would you compare the promotion so far to last year around this time?
I'm pleased with it. I think Wrestle Kingdom was great this year. Probably a bit better top to bottom than last year. I think the New Japan Cup was certainly much better. I think the Best of Super Junior was, I think, as far as the top matches goes, was better. There have been some hiccups. I think Okada's hasn't had the run like he had last year. I think the... Suzuki Naito match was a bit of a disappointment, but overall, I'm pleased with things so far.
So I would, before, like, I had an answer in mind for this, like before that question, I was like, well, it's overall better than last year, but they haven't had a 5-star match like Okada Shibata last year, but now they've had a 5-star match.
There you go.
So now everything is great.
Yep. All the bases are covered.
Yeah. I mean, like, basically I agree with everything you said. I think Okada's reign has been a little bit less, but that's also because I didn't really like the Zack Sabre Jr. match, which is, he hasn't had that many defenses. So, like, you know, I'd like the Sonata match at like a 4.25 level. The Sabre match, I didn't really care for at all, but a lot of his stuff doesn't land with me. And the Tanahashi match I thought was awesome, though, like 4.5.
That's true.
So I thought, yeah, it's been fine. It hasn't been a lot of defenses, so is the other thing. And the Naito match, like 4.5 level again, so, which is exactly where I had the Omega match. So, you know what? His reign's been fine, now I think about it. Because you know what? I hated the Suzuki match last year, the New Beginning Okada-Suzuki match. Mm. So he hasn't had a match like I hated like that in the year so far. So a lot of it's going to depend on Dominion, you know? Like, is Okada-Omega going to be like in... Like, last year at Dominion, I went... I thought Okada-Omega was not as good as some people said, but still a good match. And I thought Jericho or Naito and Tanahashi was like an outstanding match. That was like a legitimate match of the year candidate for me. And same thing with Kushida and Hiromu. So like if Hiromu and Osprey and like Naito Jericho like way over deliver and, you know, Okada Omega delivers, then you're pretty much ahead of schedule from last year, I think. So, but yeah, other than that, like, I think pretty good year so far. And like, and I think the booking has been a lot better.
Yeah.
Probably like the undercard stuff has been booked, like the tag divisions have been booked a lot better than last. Like there was nothing in the heavyweight tag division the entire year, let alone just half a year, built as well as the Evil Sonata and Killer Elite Squad match. Because they did a really good job building that up for Dontaku, or the show on the way to Dontaku, the Hinokuni. So
yeah, tag divisions have always been kind of a bit of a blind spot, so to speak, in terms of the booking. But they've been a lot more focused and a lot better this year.
Yeah, and I like the Hiromu Bushi against Kanemaru and Desperado feud a lot. So yeah, there's been a lot of good stuff on the undercards. So I'm pretty satisfied with New Japan right now. And
yep.
I hope it continues. And we got a G1 to look forward to. So,
all right.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have you back on for that, Joe.
Hold on for the tag league wrap up.
The tag league wrap
up. Oh, that's December. You're already doing year end stuff. So it's just not meant to be.
Yeah. I'm not a big tag league viewer as we went over.
I just wanted to do it to say I did it. And then I did it, so we'll see.
All right, everybody. Thank you as always for listening. Next week, speaking of Dominion, I'm going to do an episode on Dominion. And my guest is going to be a debuting guest. It's going to be the former independent wrestler, Gran Akuma. So Gran Akuma is coming on the show next week to discuss Dominion. And I'm sure we'll talk about his wrestling career as well. It's the first ever ex-wrestler I've ever had on the podcast. It's pretty cool. So Gran Akuma next week to talk about Dominion. In the meantime, thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakaze, not wrestling, WrestleOmakaze. And, you know, we'll see you next week. Thanks again for coming on, Joe.
All right. Thank you.